I have, you know, I have a wig and I was tempted just to wear it just to catch you off guard, but it's in my truck and I dropped it off to get an oil change this morning. I was like, damn.
Welcome to Car Wash, the podcast, your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. So put it in neutral, feet off the brakes, and take your hands off the steering wheel. Here is your guide on this journey, Car Wash Magazine Editor-in-Chief, Matt DeWolf.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Car Wash, the podcast. This is the podcast that makes you a better car washer and, yes, a slightly better human being. Today, we're going to talk about something that's pretty near and dear to me. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you know we talk a lot about people and how important they are to your business and what you're doing. The fact of the matter is that no matter the period of growth that you're going through, whether this industry is on fire or whether you're maybe growing at a more conservative pace, there are challenges in that growth that just do not change. One of those, and what we're going to talk about today, is that as you grow, that culture that you created when you were maybe one location that you carried to maybe two locations, maybe you got to three locations and it was still intact, gets really, really difficult to maintain as you go from 3 to 5 to 6 to 7 to 8 to 10 to 20 to beyond. So we've got someone joining us today who is perfectly positioned actually to talk about this because he runs an organization with 12 locations in Northern Colorado and Wyoming. They're continuing to grow. And as they do that, they want to maintain that culture. So joining me to talk all things culture, all things people, is Justin Salisbury, president at Breeze Through Car Wash. Justin, welcome.
Hey, Matt. Great to be here. I really appreciate the time to sit down with you and chat again. Always, always love these times.
Well, this is a fun one because this is actually, this was your idea for a podcast. You just didn't realize it at the time, right? As I was, I was trolling the internet and you had commented on something about, you know, what are some of the challenges you face? And you mentioned this growth topic. I'm like, oh, that's perfect. I want to talk about it. So that's what we're going to do, Justin.
So well, I careful what you post on the internet, they say.
Yes. You might have Matt will find you.
Too funny. Well,
let's talk a little bit about maybe let's start kind of high level in terms of just your approach in general about this kind of topic and culture and growth. And what are you kind of thinking about as Breeze Through kind of moves through these challenges?
So I want to begin with framing this a little bit. I always think it's good to have a similar foundation of thought to begin with when you're having some open dialogue so people can understand how it relates to them and their business. And so when you think about your culture in an organization, occasionally, probably more often than I care to admit, I run across people that say, I don't have a culture. Oh, yeah, absolutely, you have a culture. You always have one. You just may not have the one you desire to see. And then there's this other delineation between culture and climate. And so my experience has been that people not only talk about the fact that they want to have a strong culture, but they also can't distinguish what it is if it's not aligned with what they think. And really what that is more like climate. And I've got some definitions in here I thought I'd share. They're simple definitions. When we think about climate, we're talking about a shared perception of a group of people, sense, feeling, or atmosphere of an organization. So a shared perception of a group of people. So a group of people perceivably have this similar view of how things are. Yeah. When we're talking about culture, again, a simple understanding of that, we're talking about shared values and beliefs of a group of people. Now, that's a little bit different because we can perceive things to be a certain way, but not necessarily exist with the same value set and belief system. And so when you try to take that big thought of culture and bring it into an organization, I would say it is a never-ending effort to get to the shared values and beliefs organizationally because your business is dynamic. It's growing. You're bringing in new people. Some people churn out for any number of reasons. And so you have to be very, very conscious of how to get it to exist at all. And when you're scaling a business, nothing slows down your efforts in maintaining culture quite like adding complexity. Yeah. And so that's a little bit about what I would love to take the audience through today is some things we've done and some lessons I've learned. And I'll just begin with this, Matt. If you are in business, why are you in business? What is your why? In other words, what is the purpose for which your business exists? And that's a deep dive, which, you know, we can get into in another episode after I make another comment in some post somewhere that you find. But really, I can tell you here, we are very purposeful in the development of people. And we get that done through the Breezthrough Car Wash structure and organizational understanding. And so we exist to develop people to prepare them for their future. So it all starts with that. Now, you didn't hear me say we exist to wash millions of cars or have the best product out there. That all fits into this. But our why is to develop people to prepare them for their future. And so if you begin with that in mind, you've got a good shot at doing something productive with scaling and building and maintaining a culture you envision as you build your business.
So talk to me a little bit about, you know, we're talking about this idea of purpose. What's my why? What's my so what? Talk to me a little bit about then how does that show up, right? Like how do you, I mean, you know, it's not just putting it on signs and logos and fancy slogans, right? Like we can say these things, but how does it actually show up in the business?
So, and this is an amazing question because I don't think it gets asked enough. And by the way, this happens to be one of the things I thoroughly enjoy about always meeting with you is because you do ask the good questions and it's being recorded. So everybody knows that now. that starts with, I'll back up just a little bit, starts with a conscious effort of really what is the work that needs to be done to make that clear. And my experience is businesses move too swiftly through this process. It is for simplicity's sake, it's, hey, what are our organizational values? What is the mission we walk? What is the vision we aspire to? If you have those three things, and from the top down in an organization, they are believed in, you've got to have that. It doesn't mean everybody else has to right away, but if the top down, the people in charge of but whether it's the founders, owners, C-suite, it doesn't matter. That core group has to be in agreement. If you don't have that, then you're going to have a really difficult time doing much else. So though it does physically show up in ways that are, you know, things on the wall, posters, decals, that kind of thing, that's not what makes it work. It's important to have presence of it. But now let's talk about what it takes to run a business. What you need, a recruiting function. You need a recruiting, hiring, onboarding, we'll just say. You need operations. You need training. You need maintenance. You need marketing, advertising. You need administration. You know, all of these different departments now have to find a significant alignment within what they do and how they align with these values. So you might imagine, take any one of those examples from a department or an organization, and you might imagine a meeting having a certain flair to it where the undertone is making sure decisions are made in value alignment. Or if something was completed or a decision was made without that moment in time or prior to that moment in time, perhaps the question becomes, help me understand how the mission of this organization was in mind with whatever that outcome was. And you're looking for alignment. See, it's not black and white. These things, if they live well in a cultural embrace and not a climate, somebody can articulate, hey, look, I was thinking about, in our case, empower and trust the right people to be successful in their role by washing a lot of cars. I was thinking about, it's not going to kill us if I risk them trying to do this thing. And yeah, they messed up, but what did they learn from it? I'm hearing, okay, I heard responsibility and thought, value alignment for us. I heard hard work because patience is tough. And I'm sure that person thought they could do it faster, better, and right the first time, and on and on and on. So you're really looking to have now your meeting cadence have some interwoven understanding of the values, the mission, and how you work through things. And maybe you get some wins and through the vision that you aspire to achieve day in and day out. And so you start to bring it to life in that way. And then everywhere else that business exists, community, maybe different meetings with the entire team or quarterlies or perhaps how they work with customers, all of that should show up. So there's this very relational aspect in all of these things a business touches. And it comes back to this fundamental understanding of who the company really is. People will believe in themselves more when they are rewarded. And what I mean by rewarded is acknowledged positively that was a good thing. because it can be scary. It totally can be scary. So that's why it takes an immense amount of work on the front end to make sure it works in good situations and in bad. Yeah. And it's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. I mean, it's easy to say, this is what we stand for. This is our purpose and everything's going great. So that's what we do. But yeah, when it's like, uh-oh, that didn't go quite like we thought it was going to go. Now, how do we bring them along in a way that's aligned with what we said we do and what our purpose is? This stuff is like, culture is like brand, right? It's one of those things that's like super hard to measure. You kind of just know when it's right. And it's really so much more about, it goes so much further than a statement or a logo or the color palette. It's all about how people show up every single day and what they kind of glean from each other in that environment. And what I love about something you said about this culture piece and kind of being starting at the top and that having that team kind of right is that as that group, right, it's not about shouting it from the rooftops and saying, this is our purpose and this is what we do. It's about making decisions like rooted in that, right? Mm-hmm. It's your behavior. That's what drives everything.
When we come up against a decision that needs to be made, even at our leadership level, which is a niche group within our own organization, naturally there's individual interest, there's complexity of thought, there's, you know, push and pull over why we should do what we do. The thing that brings it all back to center is, what is the responsible thing to do here? I understand it's going to be a lot of work, but that's hard work and we live by that. How do we respectfully communicate this internally, externally? Is this the thing that prepares people for their future? That grounds us every single time.
Well, it's nice to, if you can build that habit and that kind of consistency, it makes your life so much easier, right? You're like, well, we're making decisions. How do we make them? Well, it's not that hard. Look at the things you said you do. Does it do one of those things? Then, okay, great. Off we go.
Well, and it's interesting because I think somebody who's listening to this might say, and what if you do it wrong? And are you just moved out because you don't understand it? Remember, we exist to develop people. So that means there's a requirement, a responsibility even, to coach from the mistake for the sake of development. It's beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I mean, you're... failure is too strong a word, I think. I mean, we talk about failure. I don't necessarily believe in failure. I think there's a phrase, it's, you know, there is no failure, there's only learning.
Yeah.
And I think that you all have embraced that very well.
I appreciate that.
So let's talk a little bit about, we talked a little bit about mission, vision, values, and living that and showing up. Let's talk a little bit about aligning on kind of people and in practice as it comes to, like, let's talk about recruiting and onboarding and what that does for your organization. Talk me through a little bit about how this purpose and the mission and the vision and the values and that culture comes through in sort of the tactical stuff that you're doing from a people and an employment perspective.
Yeah, and this marries very well to growing the company too. By most accounts, I've really grown up with us since really we were two locations and we're 12 operating with two being built right now and continued growth interest beyond that. And so what that really means is, how do you manage all of this important consideration around culture and even climate? Because you've got to have some climate in there to make sure you're aligned at least to get to culture. But how do you do that when you have to start thinking about, we need to bring a new person on board for these needs for the company, and they don't know us from Adam, or just any new employee that starts at the front lines from top to bottom? How do you manage that? And that's where I find this to be quite helpful. So in the recruiting practices, they've evolved immensely. I used to handle recruiting hands-on for this organization for many years. And so you might imagine somebody that's had a lot of practice and exposure to that has some opinions, right? Mm-hmm. That was work for me to undo what I did at a tactical level.
Yeah.
And allow some other people to take that on. But I had to say, well, where do I put my energy? And I thought, well, it deserves to be at the place that maintains the culture of who we are. And so it became more conversations about, hey, invite these talented people in with open arms and make sure the intended outcome is well aligned with the type of people that our customers will make comments on in countless reviews, gosh, you know, a car wash is okay, but that person was so friendly, so professional. And by the way, that's a thing we see all the time. And to me, that's a feedback loop, right? It's like, you know, they're still coming here. They're choosing us for some number of reasons. Even if they gripe about some level of expectation on the service, I'm not kidding you. It's amazing how much will show up for somebody who's new. And that still continues even after the transition with our COO. We brought on new people in our brand department. So that affects, you know, communication with customers and advertising. We build out our maintenance department, which adds complexity, and you've got to make sure there's alignment there. And so every step of the way, it's really become, let new people take this farther. We got to here because of who we were, but in order to get to where we need to be, we must change. The one thing that will not change is how we operate, why we exist. And when I say how, I mean with the undertones of values and mission and consideration of development, not the tactical stuff. And keep that end in mind really clear. And that way, everybody else working to get people or processes or departments to that moment can do it the way they intend, as long as they know that they've got to end up at that spot down the road. So it's been really fascinating to do that. And I'm grateful for so many people that we brought on board, because they're way more talented than I ever was, and frankly, am today. But I know who we are organizationally, and so a high responsibility of mine is to keep that vision intact, how we get there through the mission and the values that underline it all. Make sure that still shows up whenever they meet at the finish line.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, I think that, and frankly, one of the hardest things probably for people to do, right? It's like, hey, I built this business. I'm an entrepreneur. I did all the things for a very long time. I have to let go. Mm-hmm. Like, and I got to be comfortable with that. And I have to be comfortable that we've set this thing up in a way and we're strong enough in our purpose and our beliefs and our why that other people can come in and take it where it needs to go way better than I ever could. Come on. That's not true. It is true. It is true.
You know what? I'm so glad you said that. Some while back, I feel like it's been a couple of years, maybe 2 or 3 years. I read a book, Ego is the Enemy. You may have read it yourself. Yeah. Ego is the Enemy. And it released all of those thoughts in my head. It just did. Historically, it serves a purpose for what anybody would need modern day. And that's why I just said what I did. And that, well, I know we need better people, more qualified, more capable, more competent, more skilled, more experienced. But I also know we need to end up, you know, looking the same as we did, because that's what matters most to the people that started this.
Yeah, that's great stuff. That's great stuff. I want to talk maybe a little bit of how do we maybe course correct, right? So this is a little off script for us, but that's what I like to do. So, all right, we've got this great why, and we have everything kind of aligned. We've got some great people on board. Everybody's kind of living our values and it's cruising right along. And then it gets a little bumpy, right? We start to sense that, like things are changing in ways that we don't really need them to or want them to. We're going off the rails a little bit. What are some things that you found helpful in terms of being able to bring things back to kind of center, right? Mm-hmm. To get things back on track.
This ties to, I think I read this article in the Harvard Business Review long ago, but it was, it spoke to the unsung change of organizational growth. And it all kind of takes you down to this one singular thought of it's communication and the deterioration of it.
Yeah.
So your heart's in the right place. Your belief system's intact. You're doing things that are meaningful, but as you grow, you get more distant from the front lines and the people you used to know more intimately. And it's a necessity of growth. And so what does that really mean for when you're growing the business? Well, how do we not lose sight of that feedback loop? If we have a dedicated leadership team and there are countless more frontline employees that we used to speak to all the time, how do we maintain that? And our current COO, Jonathan, brought in this idea of an engagement survey. And so this was like, to me, this was like glue that filled so many different cracks. And it's a simple and effective tool. It's an annual survey with pulse surveys every, I think, 3 or 4 months, something like that, maybe 4 months. Either way, the feedback comes from the front lines, and your interest as a leadership team is elevating the engagement for this survey. Well, The irony is, if you don't care to respond as a leadership team to your frontline people, your engagement's going down. They won't believe that we exist for the reasons we care about. And so it puts a symbiotic pressure.
Symbiotic. What? Justin? Symbiotic. All right. Explain it for those of us who maybe wouldn't use the word symbiotic pressure.
Sure. I brought back to, I think it was eighth grade or ninth grade biology, maybe both, probably all of them, who knows. And I think about the equitable benefit between two organisms, symbiotic relationship. And this is what it really feels like to have this engagement survey, because all the care in the world is there for these people at the front lines. But there's this vast gap now between what's going on, what they're experiencing, and the top of the organization. And so getting an engagement survey out there, and the pulse surveys in between the annual one, and taking the top three priorities and saying, how do we address these top three concerns? Going back to the teams within a reasonable amount of time and saying, this is our plan to address your top one, two, and or three concerns. And that is amazing for maintaining the belief in that we exist for, you know, the benefit of being an excellently run car wash company. Look, we went from, when I started, I don't know, 16 people to now over 200. And it's like, that's still a thing. I think we would have missed that big time had we not had an element of that. So symbiotic is you're still listening. You're just got, you have a new channel to gather that information for. You still care to respond. So you're still doing that. And how it's all getting done is through this value set. I can't give you a survey, Matt, and say, you have to do this. I mean, it's just not reasonable. I mean, I can incentivize you to death and you can still say no. So how do you make sure it works without all of those, you know, bells and whistles? Well, if you want somebody to believe in it, you better follow through on your commitments.
Yeah, you really only get one chance at it, right? Like if I fill out the survey the first time and you don't bother, well, I'm not doing it again.
Trust like plummets. Yeah. We're starting to get in a better rhythm of like, okay, who should communicate the immediate response? Who should communicate the more tactical responses? Like it's taken on some legs. It's wonderful. And it's made a difference.
That's the hard thing as you grow, right? It's like you were talking about communication and it's so true. Like you get to this weird space where you think that everybody knows, right? Like maybe your team knows and you've talked about it a lot. And maybe you've given that down a little bit to like the next level of kind of folks on the team, mm-hmm. but it's like, oh, it's like the telephone game a little bit. It's getting a little lost in translation the further it goes. And then it gets said less and less and less, the further it goes. You're like, well, why don't they understand that? And so, cause you never told it to them. You didn't tell anybody.
Or it got mishandled through the three layers of communication.
Yeah. So yeah, that insistence on and kind of, habit forming of being able to say, hey, this is the communication plan for this. This is the cadence when it goes. This is who's doing what. So that there's roles there, right? Like I know that as a manager, I need to make sure that I have a meeting with my people and we talk about these three things or else I missed, right? I missed in the communication loop.
Well, and it's interesting, this whole idea of the symbiotic relationship between employees at the front lines and then the leadership, it spilled over into our customer base. We've grown a reasonably sized customer base for memberships. And the question became, well, we also have a commitment through this, this ISO certification to take customer feedback seriously and improve. I said, I feel like we're missing tapping into the customer base that's been with us for a long time. The members that are here, why are they here? So we actually build out focus groups applying the symbiotic idea. And put them in each of our unique markets and are wrapping that up this year. It'll be done in Q4. But the intent was, okay, well, if we've got a rhythm of what the frontline employees are seeing, hearing, experiencing, let's see how well that does or does not align with customers. In addition to like, what more would they like to see of us? Where does this all take us? I'm not entirely sure today, but if you have that information, you have a high level of responsibility on seeing through that something evolves.
Oh, that's fascinating. I love that kind of holistic look at it. And talk about an extremely effective way to get, this is not part of the purpose of this conversation, but what a way to create better high lifetime value customers, because you already know who the good ones are. They've been with you for a long time. Talk to them, understand what they expect, how they're interests are changing. And as they evolve, make sure that you reflect that so you can get more people like them through that door. Yeah, I love that. That was the hey, we also have to make money at this thing moment of the podcast, friend. Sorry for that. People are great. But, one of the things that I think is interesting, and I notice as I get a little older and get more perspective probably, is you have to start to really find the level at which you can go all in on the people side and marry that with the business side, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to figure out, okay, people are supremely important. I believe that very much. We have to develop our people. That's Breeze Through's why. But you also have to be profitable and run a good business. So talk to me about like that dynamic, right? Like how do you kind of thread the needle there?
You know, this ties nicely to that piece of our mission, which leads in with empower and trust. Mm-hmm. We teach internally. In fact, I head up this class for our apprenticeship course we have as specific to what we refer to as our quality policy, the vision, mission, the values and so forth, the goals and on and on. And what this looks like, I guess, in a more clear way to put it is if you lean into one or the other too extreme, you create your own set of problems, right? You want to find balance. And so there's a certain level of trust that you need to inherently risk, but you can't avoid acknowledging trust can be lost. So in the absence of a good decision or mistakes made, if there's not clarity about the trust that was degraded a little bit, well, then that person's just as reckless as they were before. Now, the irony is if you can talk confidently to how trust eroded, you're actually building trust because you have somebody go, wait a minute, I'm safe. I didn't get fired. I didn't get my hours cut. I made a mistake though. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it means you've got to get on this side of things to build trust back up. Why this is important is because if all the tools are in place well, you're not just empowering and trusting to do the right thing. The right thing should have already been figured out what the business needs are. And so you're getting them to the net outcome of what, in this case, profitability looks like. You're getting them to a performance side, a competency level that delivers on the intended results, assuming that work's already been done. So you got to take the emotions out of it and go, well, we should know how to do this. It didn't get done this way. And we give them a chance to stumble, fail, grow. But they need clarity on that's what happened.
I think, yeah, you used another great word in there, maybe a little less complicated than symbiotic, but coaching, right? I mean, I think that's a super important piece of this as you think about culture. Culture is not a mandate. It is not, yelling at someone when they make a mistake. It's coaching. It's helping them understand. It's developing that trust and that relationship that you have like their interests at heart, as long as, they're doing the work to make corrective action to go towards the goal, right? Like what's our goal? What's our mission? What's our why? Talk a little bit about how you kind of instill that coaching environment, right? Like how do you make sure that's happening?
It's interesting. I took it so far as the organization grew in terms of being in the former COO role, and the current COO and training department and even surrounding leadership members have really taken a lot farther. For example, we always had it in our DNA to coach. Well, that's great. How do you do it? All right, now we need training on how to coach. How do we make it consistent? How do we make people not be robots? How do we get them to understand the humanistic elements of the situation? How do we get them to be compassionate? And on and on and on. And it's funny because there was still this underlying thing that would occur. There was a correlation between poor coaching moments, which by the way, by and large were momentary coaching moments, not developmental coaching. Yep. And that's a lot of what our COO currently, Jonathan, had brought to the table. It's like, we love coaching. We need to really think about taking this down a development pathway. So before you know it, we're all going through this high level curriculum that we now offer internally to our team members. And part of that was, even if you have that, you get nervous, right? If you've got to tell somebody news you think is going to hurt because of some bias or fear you have, well, you've got to have a crucial conversation, which is another tool in the box now, Crucial Conversations training for our team members to give them the confidence to know how to help somebody in that moment without getting tripped up emotionally. And so you balance like these things as examples. There's probably countless other ways to approach this, but it requires a high level of consciousness. If you want to be prolific at coaching and you want to know that it's working, well, follow up in any number of meetings or pull somebody aside in the hallway on how things are going, and they will have an appreciation. In our case, they'll have an appreciation for mistakes they've made, which happens. I had a conversation this morning and somebody said, oh yeah, I screwed this up. Now tell me about that. Well, I did this. I learned I shouldn't have, and I learned why. And that is not excellence. I'm like, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Visionary aligned, made a mistake, lost some trust, growing from it on their own. How could you ask for more?
Yeah, it's working.
Yeah.
It's totally working. I'm gonna use a youth sports coaching analogy.
Oh, I'm in.
Now, for the record, I maybe have said this on the podcast before. I have real strong feelings about youth sports and what they've become today. We're not going to get into that piece of it.
Good, because you and I down a rabbit hole.
We're going to be here for another couple hours if we get down that path. But what I will say is that this idea of like coaching in kind of a business environment is not unlike trying to coach kids at, let's say, baseball, right? So there's when you're standing at a kid's baseball game, the coaches are in the dugout, kids are at the plate, he's getting ready, he's trying to hit. And during that process, that kid is so like nervous and tense and fired up, and he's trying to remember all the things you told him to do. And what happens every single time? Ball comes in, kid takes a swing, he misses, and the coach yells something at the kid. Hey, it's all right, buddy. You got the next one. Oh, hey, buddy, keep your foot down. Hey, hands to the ball, knob to the ball, let's go. Or like if they're pitching, it's like, hey, bud, throw strikes. Yeah, no crap, throw strikes. Like he's trying to. So it, for like me,
a,
like,
in a home yeah, run, score a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. That's just hit it hard, let's go.
Boot it.
And it's like, that's, I mean, we can't help it. We're humans and we're like trying to encourage, and we're trying to help, and we want to fix, and they're kids. But to take this back to that element of like training and culture in the work environment, there's a time when they're performing, right? It's like game time. They got to go, and you got to let them do. Like they got to do it and they got to figure it out, and they're never going to be able to perform at a high level if they can't take all that learning and practice and training that you've given them and implement that really on their own. Now, if they make a mistake out there and something happens, you bring them into the side and you have a one-on-one moment with them, that's way different than mom and dad and grandpa up in the stands yelling, you loaded that car wrong. Hey, that's not how we do it here. Hey, you better smile next time. Oh, that no, sign went up too fast. So we just got to like, it goes back to what you're talking about empowerment and trust. Give them the tools they need, train them up, give them all the things, and then just kind of like, let them play the game. Let them play the game.
Now, I know you know this because we have talked about this before, but for our audience that's listening, I would say, everything we've covered is really important, but more important still is you will discover people that do their job at a very high level, at an individual level, if you will, sometimes a small team level. Mm-hmm. If you have a strong culture, then the majority of your team is acknowledging what's being done well in alignment with feedback around those values, the mission, the vision. I get more and better and greater prolific results from those moments than anything else. Mm-hmm. And it's because all the tools are in the box. But if we just go, yep, that they're good, and walk away, right, well, how are you reinforcing that great behavior and aligning it so that they can carry a conversation on with the next person they cross paths with? So those moments matter, I would say, even more. But it's really tough to have those moments if you don't have all those clear pieces first.
Yeah, you got it. This is all a work in progress, right? And it builds on every single step in it.
Yeah.
I want to shift gears a little bit. I want to talk, you know, as when you only have two locations, things are a little bit easier than when you have
sure,
four, it turns out. So our inclination, and especially in the car wash space, it's a process driven sort of environment, right? So as we get more complexity in the business, we think, oh, there should be a process for that. Let's just make that a process. What if we build more process? And next thing you know, it's like, man, it takes me 3 days to do something that used to be 10 minutes. So I want to talk about this idea of like, how do you keep things simple, and why is that important as you grow?
Well, I have had the fortunate opportunity of growing a highly procedurally driven organization to a fault. And man, I am grateful for that lesson. Again, yeah. I had the opportunity to be empowered. I lost some trust for people. Powerful. I'm not immune to the things we provide here. And through that experience, it's, you know, structure is important. It is not everything. Even for some of the most complex systems and in the most complex industries, it is not everything. You must be able to, you know, critically think, consider the variables of which didn't exist within the structure and how to proceed if they show up. And so you get into this thing, and there's a beautiful book on this called Humanocracy. So I actually use a lot of their language in this. The relationship between bureaucracy and humanocracy. And it's what you might imagine. Bureaucracy is, you know, your red tape and everything you do, people lose interest, but they're some level of them feel safe because they know what they're supposed to do. There's a truth to that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a tipping point, right? There's a threshold at which diminishing returns start to occur. And it's like, well, what was I supposed to do here? Because in this situation, it says to do this, and I'm supposed to go about it this way, but this is what happened. And now you've got a morale issue, and you lost sight of the humanocracy. And so it's very fascinating. I would say for the last couple of years, we've actually unwound a lot of what I've had my fingerprints on. and I think if I had a group of my team in here, I'd get some like this right over here. But that being said, it's still important to have that exist, to have, you know, fundamental things that are strong. Your policies, procedures are critical. You want to build a brand that looks consistent, so you're required to have some clarity over that. You know, you want customers to go from one location to the next and, you know, not say, I like this one because they look a certain way or behave a certain way. You want them to go, they're professional and friendly everywhere I go. And so there's a lot of consciousness and structure supporting the culture. And a lot of unwinding and structure, you know, being removed from things that require gray areas to exist. The reality of the same situation might be 80% happening every day. Every day that a frontline employee experiences it, 80% of the time it's this thing. But you know what they never remember? 80% of the time, the things that happen, it's the one or two people that day that threw them off. So you got to build the humanocracy component into addressing that by not being too bureaucratic and making sure you find the balance. And hey, again, I want to stress, I had the beautiful pleasure of working to the peak of the problem and seeing it start to diminish, invited more skilled and experienced people in from all different walks, and they could point this out. And I thought, oh, yeah, I think I see it now. let's undo that.
I mean, Justin, you're basically Taylor Swift, right? It's you. You're the problem. It's you. It's fine. It's fine. We can we can acknowledge that.
You want to talk about left field, Matt? Oh, man.
That is just how it goes, man. It's just how it goes. No, I do want to ask you, though, what's interesting is, like, back to this idea of, like, as people in this industry are generally of an entrepreneurial mindset, and they do, like, there is ego, right? You can't help it. There's ego. It's the thing you built. And you were talking about, you know, letting that go. You had to really let go. Like, you had to undo and say, these things I built, they don't make sense anymore. So can you just kind of share, like, how did you do that? Like, how did it feel to kind of go through that process? Like, what was helpful for you in just kind of releasing that
ego? That's easy. I had the best mentor that anybody could ask for. And John Agnew, for this company, the founding owner and current CEO. I personally got to be that person to him. And if you look back 12 years, you see it's just a cyclical thing, right? Mm. He gave me room to run. There was a accountability that was expected, not a perfection or, you know, don't screw up type mindset, but rather you screwed up and you're accountable. What are you going to do? Yeah. And so there's a lot of that. And as you grow with that, right, as you grow, you trust and you build on that. And so it became very apparent how I needed to keep that intact as part of the culture for who we are. And so I never got tripped up on the next role or the shift in responsibilities for the role, but rather my biggest concern is making sure I don't lose sight of the thing that literally got me to where I am for so many others around me. I can tell you there was a situation. I have an ownership stake in our company, and with some significant changes a few years ago, they cost me income. And yeah. I think a lot of people would have lost a lot of sleep over that. And I very calmly said to the ownership group, this is what happened. This is why I did it. I don't think it's going to go well. Here's what we should brace for. And instead of them going to go change that, they said, we understand. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Powerful. So that's where it comes from. It's being fortunate to have that type of person. And I wouldn't say he's the only one, but he's definitely the focal person for my development here. And then the pressure to replicate that. It's been an incredible journey for that.
Yeah. I mean, there's like you said, there's real power in having a culture that supports people being able to change. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, we build things for a reason, right? These processes were in place because they were needed at the moment. Mm-hmm. And then as you grow, you have to be comfortable enough to say, it doesn't work anymore. We're constantly evaluating. We're looking, we're listening to our people because we've empowered them and trusted them and what they're doing. And we know that they're equipped because we've built a great culture and we've done that. So yeah, I love that. I love that.
And I'll say this one, this is a fun one for people to think through because a lot of people in our industry have gone down this pathway. And that is, I'm speaking really to that humanocracy component. So many of us, and you know this, Matt, are homegrown, meaning they started at the bottom and they grew up or they fumbled around early on with owning a small wash and they build on it or whatever, but they walk the pathway in a lot of cases. And if you ask yourself about what your experience was like when you wished you were heard, when you knew the most and best information because you dealt with it day in and day out, what are you doing to reflect that moment for the people you lead today?
Yeah.
And that's a powerful thought. It doesn't take much for me to think back and go, I remember wishing they would have listened to me when I did this. It was worth it. It could have made a big difference. And then pausing going, uh-oh. Yeah. The other day somebody said something and I sort of dismissed that.
Yeah. I was the dream crusher. Uh-oh.
I was the dream crusher.
Don't be the dream crusher.
Yeah, don't be the dream crusher. Not a good role hold.
No. Well, this has been super fun. I could take the rest of your day, but I know that you're a busy man, and I am also a busy man. So there
you are, busy.
But I always want to ask my last question because I always like to know what people say. Justin, what is one thing that we can do today that's going to make us better tomorrow?
One thing we can do today that would make us better tomorrow. All right. One thing. Okay, here we go. If there was one thing you could do, it would be for someone else. And that thing would be a moment in time or perhaps a lengthy conversation to help them see how they're significant in the world. Mm. And we've talked a lot about this, but if you really wanted to make it better tomorrow, it starts with you extending the olive branch to somebody else. And it could be, again, trivial. Don't underestimate the power of taking the time to acknowledge somebody's existence. I was just flying around last week in airplanes in and out of airports, and I had a TSA agent look at me from like three people deep, and he, you know, doing one of these things over somebody's shoulder. And I thought, okay, he's just doing his job. You know, don't get all butthurt, Justin. And I got up there and he just doing his job, but it feels like pressure, right? It's like, is he going to let me on the plane? And in that moment, I thought, you know what he never hears? How significant this role is.
Yeah.
And so I said, hey, I just wanted to tell you, I saw how you made eye contact with me, three people back. I appreciate your attentiveness. That tells me you're very conscious of the safety of the people that fly in this plane. That matters to me and everybody here. Thank you. That was it. Yeah. You want to talk about somebody who's never heard that before? Like his body cramped up. And he, and then he said, thank you. You could hear it in the undertone of his voice. That's what I mean, those moments. So if you want tomorrow to be better, extend that. It'll come back to you.
Yeah, that's great stuff. That is great stuff. Well, Justin, I appreciate you taking the time with me today. I love this conversation. I love to talk about this kind of stuff. And you always bring a lot of wisdom to it. So I'm super excited to see what you all keep doing at Breeze Through. And thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Matt. Thank you for having me on. And look forward to the next one.
And careful what you post.
Car Wash the Podcast is your source for real stories and real business insights from the experts, both in and out of the car wash industry. Our show helps investors, owners, operators, and managers think about ways to enhance their business. Our podcast is a free on-demand audio program that provides information on the latest trends impacting the industry, tips from successful industry leaders, and inspiration for our listeners.